Welcome to Medicine Matters, the Springer Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Jane Gosland. In this episode, we'll be discussing diagnostic criteria for Alzheimer's disease. This is a somewhat controversial topic in an incredibly fast-moving environment. Alzheimer's, as you all know, is characterized by progressive cognitive decline, particularly affecting memory, language, and executive function. It poses a significant clinical challenge for us due to its heterogeneous presentation and its insidious onset. Accurate diagnosis is therefore essential for early intervention and management. Our understanding of the mechanisms underlying disease has been improving, and in recent years, this has led to the need for new recommendations on the most appropriate diagnostic criteria. So today, we're taking a focused look at the use of biomarkers in the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. We ask, are blood-based biomarkers the gold standard? Do we understand enough about the link between a positive result and the development of clinical symptoms? Well, stay with us now as we look at the evidence available to help us answer these questions.
Hello, I'm Katrina Brown, Clinical Content Manager at Springer Medicine. I'm delighted to be joined today by Dr. Nicholas Villan, Associate Professor of Neurology at Sorbonne University and a Cognitive and Behavioural Neurologist at Pitié-Salpêtrière Hospital in Paris, as well as researching brain network vulnerability using multimodal neuroimaging. He is an expert on fluid biomarkers of Alzheimer's disease. Nicholas, let's dive straight in. What are the standard methods of diagnosis for Alzheimer's disease that are currently in use in the clinic?
To diagnose Alzheimer's disease currently, we use two sets of arguments. The first one is the clinical phenotype of your patient. So you do cognitive testing, neuropsychological testing, memory test, etc. And if you have a specific phenotype that can be aligned with Alzheimer's disease, such as memory problems, language problems, or neurovisual problems, then you do biomarker assessment to check whether Alzheimer's disease is the underlying pathology of this phenotype. And for this, you have two main options, either cerebrospinal fluid biomarkers, where you dose A-beta 40, 42, and the ratio 40 over 42, and phospho-tau 181, and total tau. This gives you indication on the underlying pathology. And you also have another option, which is positron emission tomography, especially amyloid PET, where you have a radio tracer that target amyloid pathology and that confirm as well that Alzheimer's pathology is the underlying cause. So you have two dimensions, the clinical and the biological part that make the disease.
So you've mentioned imaging and CSF biomarkers. Can you tell us a bit about the diagnostic biomarkers that are currently in development or under discussion?
Yeah, so I mentioned the gold standard, and of course, these last 5 years I've seen a breakthrough with plasma biomarker that have reached a lot of popularity and excellent results and that are very close to being used in clinical routine. For example, in my center, it will be next month. So we are really jumping into these plasma biomarkers, and there are substitutes, especially one of them, p-tau217, is a good surrogate marker of amyloid PET and of CSF biomarkers, generally speaking. It is less a good biomarker of tau PET, but it makes the job for the other biomarkers, making it very exciting for being more feasible and cheaper for clinical routine.
And does the accuracy of the biomarkers differ depending on the stage of disease?
They do, to some extent. These biomarkers are actually more biomarkers of pathology than of disease. So according how you define disease and pathology, your question can be a bit tricky. But let's use the usual definition of Alzheimer's disease. So as long as you have enough plaques, amyloid plaques or tau pathology in the brain, your biomarker will be positive. So it can be positive before symptoms happen, because you have plaques and tangles before symptoms happen, and then stabilize or keep increasing a little bit when disease worsens. However, this p-tau217 is not a very good staging biomarker of Alzheimer's disease. It raises very soon when the pathology appears, and then it kind of plateaus. For staging the disease, we rather use tau PET, which is a biomarker of tau pathology, aggregated tau pathology in the brain. And this is more correlated to symptoms and to the stage of the disease.
So we're speaking today about your recent paper in JAMA Neurology that outlines combined clinical and biological criteria for diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. Can you tell us a bit about what led you to publish that work?
So this work is aligned with a previous publication from the International Working Group that started in 2007. So this builds upon this concept of clinical biological disease. To diagnose Alzheimer's disease, you both need clinical symptoms and abnormal biomarkers. This is important because, on the other hand, and we'll discuss that a bit later, you have the American Association, the Alzheimer's Association, that proposes a switch to a different disease concept, which is a pure biological disease concept where you only need abnormal biomarker to make the diagnosis. What is the difference between the two? With the Alzheimer's Association disease concept, you take into consideration all the patients with symptoms, but also all without symptoms. And as a matter of fact, those without symptoms but with abnormal biomarkers are three times more frequent than those with symptoms. So you kind of quadruple prevalence of the disease, and you also make it at the same time a less severe disease. Why is that? Is because the vast majority of individuals who are biomarker positive will not develop symptoms in their lifetime. So these asymptomatic individuals with positive biomarkers, a benign condition, benign in the sense that they will not develop systematically the disease. It's not a deterministic disease mechanism. Instead, it's a risk. So in this JAMA Neurology paper, we confirm that aligned with the previous definition of Alzheimer's disease according to the International Working Group, Alzheimer's disease should be diagnosed only in patients with symptoms, while those without symptoms should not be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, but should be given a different disease label, which is asymptomatic at risk. And we also propose, which is the novelty of this 2024 criteria, to expand the small category of individuals that we name pre-symptomatic Alzheimer's disease. These are asymptomatic individuals, but with a very high risk of developing Alzheimer's disease, meaning symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. So by expanding this category, we acknowledge that the disease begins before symptoms, and we can target this specific population, which is at high risk for future drug development.
Okay, so the criteria that the Alzheimer's Association gives for Alzheimer's disease, can you tell us a little bit about how they define it?
Yes, so the Alzheimer's Association stands on the 2011 disease concept that they introduced, which is a pure biological disease concept, meaning that they consider the disease starts when the first amyloid plaques accumulates in the brain. This is very different from our concept where we acknowledge that the disease begins when you have a high risk of developing symptoms, when you have a tipping point, where you have a certain level of pathology that can be clinically benign, and then you have a tipping point, and that's the start of a disease because this tipping point will lead systematically to symptoms. So that's two different concepts of a disease. And aligned with Alzheimer's Association pure biological disease concept, then you only need biomarkers that are enough sensitive or specific to the first amyloid plaque, which means that you can use every biomarker, such as amyloid PET or p-tau217 in plasma or some CSF biomarkers that have proven a good diagnostic accuracy against amyloid plaques. So these are the new criteria of the Alzheimer's Association: amyloid PET positive or plasma p-tau217 positive or CSF biomarker positive makes you as an Alzheimer's disease patient, whether you have symptoms or not, whether your risk is high or low. So it risks diluting the gravity of Alzheimer's disease by including vast majority of asymptomatic individuals with a good prognosis.
Why do you think it is that some experts are keen to define Alzheimer's disease as a purely biological entity?
Well, it's more simple from a biological point of view. You have one cause, amyloid accumulation, and it's easier to target from a drug perspective, drug development perspective. So it aligns the goals of the pharmaceutical companies, biomarker companies, and some experts. that actually co-wrote this paper together. So for the first time in the Alzheimer's Association criteria, you have a half of the authorship that is from the industry. So it really aligns all these interests together. And of course, I mean, their goal is to speed up drug development, and when you simplify the problem, then the problem becomes solvable. And I fully agree with that. I mean, everything that can speed up the process is, of course, well intended. However, hell is also paved with good intentions. And the problem of this is that you will reduce Alzheimer's disease to amyloid plaques. And unfortunately, it's more complex than that. And we realize that when we clean up amyloid in the brain with current anti-amyloid maps, and the disease doesn't stop. It slows down a bit, but it doesn't stop. So you have additional factors at stake. So it's, in my opinion, a problem, because by reducing this complexity to simple amyloid plaques, then you also reduce the pharmaceutical targets to amyloid. And also, as I said, you mix together individuals with a different prognosis. So it makes actually more complicated to define a good population for trial, because you will have individuals with bad prognosis, those with good prognosis with the same drug. So it makes the risk-benefit ratio very difficult to assess.
So the International Working Group, you've mentioned the recommendations that you've recently published, and that incorporates both clinical and biological findings. Are there any other of the key recommendations that you wanted to outline for us today?
Yes, so we are aligned with the Alzheimer's Association, because they say now with their criteria that the asymptomatic individuals can be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, but they should not for current clinical practice, and we are 100% aligned. We say that no one without symptoms should be tested. The difference is when it becomes possible, and it's already becoming possible because plasma biomarkers are available, and they are direct-to-consumer plasma tests that are also available, so it's really coming. So when it happens and when drugs will start to happen, we still divide two categories, and dividing two categories is very important to correctly assess the risk-benefit ratio in each category and have a specific drug objective for each category. So that's the main thing, and we also highlight that we consider that the disease begins before symptoms happen, and this is what we call the pre-symptomatic Alzheimer's disease. So these are individuals with abnormal biomarkers and a high risk of developing symptoms, not simply abnormal biomarkers. And this makes sense to speed up development for prevention when you only include high-risk individuals.
And of the two approaches, defining disease biologically versus defining it based on both clinical symptoms and biological findings, which do you think is better for patients, both in terms of holistic well-being, as well as their outcomes and prognosis?
Of course, when you define a disease biologically and clinically, you, by definition, include a clinical prognosis. So it's really aligned with the patient needs, the patient feeling, and the partners also. So in our opinion, it's more aligned with a holistic way of seeing the disease instead of a pure biological mechanisms, which is, of course, a pure biological definition of Alzheimer's.
And do you think, though, that a purely biological definition may be possible in future once there's a greater understanding of which biological changes will translate into symptomatic disease?
Yes, it is, and I fully support that it will happen. My position and the International Working Group position is that it's not only a biomarker that should be specific for amyloid plaques, but also specific for a bad clinical prognosis. Once we get that, and we are starting to see that, for example, with tau PET, when tau PET becomes positive in the neocortex, then the clinical prognosis is very bad. And this, me, without clinical context, I would definitely consider someone with a positive tau PET in the neocortex as having Alzheimer's and treating as any symptomatic patient. So as long as the biomarker is related to the prognosis, I have no problem with using only biomarkers.
So the recent breakthroughs, both in terms of blood-based biomarkers for diagnosis and new disease-modifying treatments, represent a very exciting time for clinicians and for patients affected by Alzheimer's disease. But there's been much discussion over the past year about readiness for adopting these new technologies and therapies into clinical practice. What do you see as the main challenges, and what can clinicians be doing now to prepare?
We are already preparing since the European Medicines Agency has recently approved lecanemab in clinical practice. So we are in the process of doing that in France. And as you mentioned, blood-based biomarkers are really the development we needed to speed up the selection of patients, since all these patients that are candidate for this kind of drug should have biomarker testing. Having blood biomarkers in clinical routine will really speed up the development of these drugs. And of course, we also need to completely change the way we currently see patients, diagnose patients, announce disease. And the critical element, at least in our medical system, is the duration and the length of the clinical pathway, because currently it takes about 18 months to get from the first consultation to the diagnosis. And since these drugs are only for early stage Alzheimer's disease, 18 months is too long. So we need to shorten this and to develop fast track pathways, but in fast track we still need to have high quality diagnosis, of course, and this will be done by designing specific care pathway for patients that are not too severe, where we can have very quickly blood-based biomarkers and MRI, so that we can make an interdisciplinary decision to treat or not in a 2 or 3 month duration.
Dr. Vallant, thank you for your time today. It's been so informative to speak to you about how to interpret findings from the new diagnostic techniques becoming available in the clinic. Clearly, we're on the cusp of major insights and rapid changes in how we diagnose and potentially treat Alzheimer's disease.
This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals for their ongoing medical education and entertainment. It should not replace the professional advice of a doctor or pharmacist, and may not be used as a basis for diagnosis or any change to the prescribed treatment of disease. The views expressed by our moderators and guests are their opinions and do not represent the position of any third parties. The information given in the podcast is subject to change as the scientific field and clinical advances progress.